One of the great things about iPods and other mobile devices too is the ability to make your own playlists. So you're studying French in action, and perhaps you want to study all the verbs, all the dictation across all the lessons. You can go ahead and create a smart playlist that contains the artist French in action, and the track, the name of the track contains dictation in it, and that enables you to pull out of all the lessons from all the albums all the dictation exercises into one playlist, which then you can study independently. Or in the case of this playlist here, these are smart playlists, basically dynamic lists based on certain search criteria. Here's a smart playlist whose artist contains Genki from the Genki textbook, and all the tracks whose play count is greater than zero, sorted by the least recently played. So of all the stuff you study, this playlist would show you the stuff that you haven't studied recently. Another thing that we've been encouraging our students to do is use the rating field that comes with things like iTunes that allows you, in the case of music, to rate songs you like really well. You give them a higher rating. In the context of learning languages, you can use the rating field to indicate how well you know the item. And here, giving perhaps more stars to items that you actually don't know as well, and less stars to items when you learn them. And then you can go ahead and create a playlist, a new smart playlist for that, which might contain artist Genki, and whose rating is, say, in the range of 3 to 5. And then you might sort them by the least recently played. Right, that would give you a study list of all the items that you maybe don't know very well and you haven't studied in a while. So a smart playlist, or you might just have a regular playlist in which you grab tracks from different albums to put together stuff that you want to have available if you're, say, going out. And so you might have a series of tracks related to going out that might include tracks related to conversation. And this comes from the iSpeak Phrasebooks product that I developed with McGraw-Hill. One of the challenges was how to categorize stuff given the limitations of the ID3 tags. Right? You have artists and albums and tracks. That's basically two levels of categorization. So if you have a bunch of stuff that you want people to be able to browse to, you can't categorize very much with albums. So what we did with the iSpeak series is, a given iSpeak series, say iSpeak Russian, has a set of categories at top level. We use the artist field essentially as another level of categorization. So for iSpeak Russian, we had iSpeak Russian conversation was an artist within this product. And that artist contained a number of albums. They're not all the albums here, but many of the albums. So if you wanted to, it just gives you another level of categorization if you wanted to then look at all the albums that relate just to conversation. Or we had another artist level category for entertainment. And within that, we had a number of albums pertaining to that category of entertainment. The first year we did this pilot study, we gave them iPods preloaded with all the material they needed to study. At the end of the summer, we took all the iPods back, and one of the great things about iPods is they keep track of everything you listen to, when you last listened to it, and how many times you listened to it. And that tracking information can be used to create smart playlists, to record things that you haven't listened to a lot, or you haven't listened to recently, or the ratings. When we got the iPods back from the students, we pulled out all that metadata records, that tracking information, and we aggregated it into a database. And then we actually were able to look at how students were using them. So we wrote this analysis program that then showed us play counts, the average play counts, the sum of play counts for albums by user, and discovered some really interesting things, like the most common played track was this one here, Lesson 6, Dialogue 1, played 493 times And these show which tracks were played the most, and the average play count on tracks. So we actually discovered that students on average played these tracks 2 to 3 times. So they repeated them 2 to 3 times on average. Some tracks they played a lot more than others, but that was kind of interesting to find. So they didn't just listen to it once, but they listened to 2 or 3 times, and after that, that seemed to be enough for them to memorize it. Exactly, yeah, you can look at these statistics and then find the words or phrases they're having more difficulty with and build your lessons around that. Yep, yep.